I was thinking this evening, as Sherry mentioned, this has been for me a good week. I have truly been blessed. I know that blessed more than I'm deserving of. That's always the case with me, and no one knows that better than I do. But I am so thankful for the fact that the Lord saved one in our services, whether she was in our services or not, immaterial to me. The fact that she got everything straightened out with the Lord. I hope that there have been others who have heard the word, and it's been helpful. No gimmicks tonight. No questions on what the scripture might say. No telephones to time you on anything. For those of you who weren't here last night, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway. I do appreciate your being here. I'm going to, for a little bit this evening, use some scripture out of the New Testament. And if I have a thought that I would like for you to think about this evening, it would be these words: men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? There are different portions of the Word of the Lord that talk about what needs to be done. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest that Jesus is the Christ, with all thy heart thou mayest." One of the people who had asked the Lord said, ask him what he must do to inherit eternal life. And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and love thy neighbor as thyself." Those are pretty easy answers. However, I want you to give some thought this evening to another portion of the Word of the Lord. I know sometimes that you may think that I kind of get myself out on the limb, and I do once in a while, with some of the things that I preach and some of the things that I say and some of the things that I believe. But let me assure you this evening that God's plan, which I've said from night to night, is perfect. And because maybe sometimes we can't explain it or we don't understand it completely as we would like to, does not change the fact that his plan is right. Jesus, in his words, said that he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that doesn't say that everybody's going to come to repentance. And it doesn't say everybody's going to be saved. Now, we don't like to think about the fact that there are going to be people. There are going to be people probably in most every family that's here tonight. Some of our family members who are not saved, we're not going to be in heaven. And we like to think that every one of them will be, because they're ours. But let me tell you this evening that God doesn't make any exceptions to that. Listen to what he said. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is Jesus speaking. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No man cometh to the Father but by me. In the book of Acts, where I gave you my main thought this evening, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Some of you are already familiar with that and know what that occasion was. But let me just kind of refresh your minds that this is the day of Pentecost. This is a day that the Lord kept another one of his promises to his apostles, to his disciples. Whenever he had said unto them, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without my presence. I will send one to you. And the Holy Spirit came on this occasion. There'd been quite a prayer meeting of the church. And while they were gathered together and after they were carrying out some of the business of the church, Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I said here this past week that I was going to give you a year to come up to me with your study of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I won't be worried about spending much time with any of you. I'll be honest with you. I think probably you're going to be a little surprised as you begin to study the Word of the Lord as to how much you're going to find. But here the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together in one place and one accord. And suddenly there came as a sound. Now it was as a sound of a rushing mighty wind. The sound is what you need to think about and hear not. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just some of them. We got some people today who are teaching, preaching this is a special dispensation that you've got to merit this some way, that you've got to have been saved so long and you've got to live so good and you've got to have done so many works before that you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you something, that when the Holy Ghost originally came here on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't selective as to who it was upon. It was, the Bible says, on all, A-L-L. Just so be sure we don't get O-I-L mixed in here and think that I'm saying oil. I'm saying all. All of them. I want you to understand this evening that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, has to work in the heart of the individual. That's why I stand and preach so many times that without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, without God dealing through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of those who are lost, it's impossible for them to be saved. There is no other way upon the earth that a man can be saved excepting through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Now, for those of you who get this idea that you're just going to go direct to God, you better think again. You're not good enough to go direct to God. Other than God being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you that. But He is our intermediary. He is that one who's without sin. He's the one who carries our petitions to the Father. For those that are lost, I'm going to say to you this evening, the only way that you're ever going to be saved is that you come according to the Word of the Lord. The Bible very clearly teaches what you need to do. You need to repent. You need to repent of what? Not of all the sins that you've done out here that you've committed up to this moment in time. The sin of unbelief. Why do you think the people in the Old Testament, all of God's people, why do you think they had to wander around out there 40 years? Why do you think, for example, that even after that they were ready to go into the promised land and God had promised them that He would go before them and lead them in there, that they had to then be punished? Because they didn't believe Him. Unbelief. Yeah, so He took them out there and let them wander around for 40 years till they died off, all those who were of age. Let me tell you something. God's people many times are like lost people are. They get to where they don't believe what the Lord is saying. They believe the Lord is going to make them an exception. They believe for whatever reason that God is not going to apply His laws and His rules to them because they are His children. I still find as I read the Word of God that sin always has a price to be paid, and we pay for our sins as God's children as we live here upon the face of the earth. That's the only place I find where that you can. Sure. Well, I don't think we ever have to pay for them. I think God just forgives us of all of them. What's interesting to me, when I study the Word of the Lord, He didn't forgive all the people that were His own people, His chosen people, and just say, I just forgive you. No consequences because of your sin. They paid a price. When you get in the New Testament, you'll find that because of our sin, there's always a price to be paid. For lost people, the price that you're going to pay is going to be eternity and damnation. Now, I've been studying a little more. I spent a little more time today studying, and I told y'all that before these services close, and I've already told you that at least we'll go through tomorrow night. Now, I begin to worry whether Sherry was kind of making a pitch here to convince you to go longer, but that I did also qualify it, Sherry, and say that'll be up to the church as to whether we go past tomorrow night. But that's kind of the way I did it. And I said, and don't get excited, any of you. I know some of you want to go home Wednesday night and not come back from then on, but that's all right. I learned a long time ago that sometimes people get the idea that maybe I'm sick and they need to just set up with me. You come tonight and this will come tomorrow night and you set up with me. That's what we used to do in the old days when people were sick or near death. They'd go and the neighbors would go in and set up with them. Well, I'm not that sick yet, so you don't have to do that to me. But listen, let me tell you something. And what I started to say was I'd said I was going to preach on heaven and hell, and I'm still planning to do that. I've got two texts left out of all of them that the Lord gave me back long before we started the revival meeting. I can tell you now, I'm getting down to the end. The Lord always works things differently. It's never the same with me. I've learned to accept that. One changed on me one night this week. Changed from morning until I got here that night, and so I had to go a totally different direction. I'm not going to tell you which one it was. Doesn't matter. And it wasn't just a change; it was one that I hadn't been given in that original group that I'd been given. So that's just a whole nother thing. That's something you all don't even think about, don't worry about, and probably never give any consideration. You just think all a preacher's got to do is just make up his mind what he wants to preach. Just get up and preach whatever he wants to. Let me tell you something. It doesn't work that way. The Spirit must be involved from the time that the individual knows that they're lost, because you can't know you're lost unless the Holy Spirit convicts you. You cannot come to the Lord unless the Lord leads you and guides you. No man cometh to the Father excepting by me. We also know that He knew us and He loved us before we have ever loved Him. We know that you have to have that drawing of the Holy Spirit according to His Word. You have to have it to be able to have faith, and He has to give you the faith to believe to the saving of your soul. You don't have that much faith within yourself. Jesus even spoke to His disciples and said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can just do all kinds of things, even move mountains. So most of us don't have very much faith. Most of what we have has been given to us, and we've gained some of that from our experience of being able to trust the Lord. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, let me get to my message here. What had happened was the Holy Spirit came here on the day of Pentecost, and it began to work in miraculous ways. And the Apostle Peter stood up here, and he had 11 brethren with him. 11 of them up there with him. They're all 12 there. Oh, somebody was saying, no, there was Judas was missing. Yeah, he was, but there had already been one chosen to take his place. Go back and read again. Yeah. So they stand up there, and the Apostle Peter gets up there, and he preaches a powerful message unto these people. And the Bible says whenever that he had preached that message, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled. So one, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? That's not where I wanted to read. Anyway, that's part of what happened. And so what it says now, when they heard this, when they heard Peter preach, when they heard this message that was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, and Peter stood up there and preached, the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. That's conviction. They came under conviction. They needed to know, what shall we do? And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now I want you to listen to the answer that he gave. And I want you to listen very carefully. It's important that you understand that God always has a method and a way that he does things. If you go back over in the Old Testament and you begin to read the old Mosaic law, when God first gave man the law, you'll find where that he gives it to them, then he repeats it, and then you'll find it again and again and again. And you're finally going to get tired and say, I've already read that three times. I'm not going to read it again. Well, the truth of the matter is, if it was there 40 times, those people, as many times as they heard it, still didn't follow it. And as many times as we read it today, and as much as we know what God says in His Word, we still will not follow it. God always does everything. The Bible says He does things decently and in order. So there's always an orderliness to everything that God does. Now, why do I put emphasis on that? First of all, I want you to understand, and I'm going to just come right out and be very clear. What Peter said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 1, 2, 3. Repent. What did John say when he came preaching? Repent. What did Jesus say when he came and began to preach and to teach? Repent. Peter is still saying that same thing, and that's still the same message that we have today for lost people, is that you need to repent. You need to be sorry for the fact that you have not believed in God's Son, Jesus Christ, that you've rejected Him, you've denied Him. When He spoke to your heart through the Holy Spirit, you said, no, I don't want anything to do with Him. Now, you may not have come out and said those words. You may not have thought those things so deliberately. But I guarantee you that's what you did when you denied the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And so you're going to have to come to the Lord. You can't be saved any other way. And you know what? The only thing that I know that you can say is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't believe you. Yeah. That's the closest thing to a work that I know of. And that's not a work. That's an apology. That's a repentance. But you've got to meet it. It's got to be sincere. It's got to come from your heart. It can't be said, I'm sorry, sorry. That burns me sometimes when people do that to me. And I know they're no more sorry than the time that it took them to say it. If they're not sorry, don't say it. If you are sorry, sometimes we need to say it. I have to say it sometimes. I don't particularly like to, usually because I've messed up again. And so I have to say I'm sorry. Repent. That's what a lost person has to do. One of the people came to the Lord and said to Him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he was trying to entrap the Lord. If I can find that real quick, I'll read it here. I probably won't be able to find it because I had it and didn't mark it. But anyway, Jesus said unto him, he said, what does the law say? And he goes ahead and he lists out all of the laws that it would have been possible for this man to have kept. And Jesus named them off. And this young man said, all those I've kept from my youth up. And he was right. He could have done that. Somebody said, oh, he couldn't have done it. He couldn't have done it. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't name the first one. You know what the first one is? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul. You know why he didn't name that to this young man? Because he already knew that this man loved his money more than he loved anything else. And when this young man said, all those I've kept from my youth up, Jesus said, then do one more thing. Sell all that you have and go and give it to the poor. And the Bible says he went away sad because he had wealth. Now people, God knows the hearts of every single individual. And he knew the heart of this young man. He knew that man wasn't any more sincere about wanting to know what he had to do to inherit eternal life than many people that I see from time to time. I said right in the beginning of this, I think I told the church here before we get, listen, this is serious business, and whenever we get down to it, I want us to be serious about it. I want sinners to be serious about seeking the Lord. I want us to be serious about helping them. I have a lot of fun. I enjoy being a child of God. I enjoy you people. I love all of you. And I'll guarantee you that we should be able to enjoy our salvation and our love for one another. But there are some things that we have to be serious about, and sometimes we just dilly-dally around. Lost people do the same thing. They say, well, you know, I'm going to get around to that one of these days whenever I make up my mind. No, you won't. Not according to the Word of God. You do not have the choice. You don't make up your mind when you're going to do it. You're going to have the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm going back again to the Word of the Lord. It takes the Holy Spirit to let you know you're lost, to let you know how to come, to let you know how to get there, to save your soul whenever that you reach that point so you can believe with everything there is about you, and then to let you know when you've been saved. That's all the work of God. That's not me. These people, the Bible says, when old Peter stood up there and preached, and he said, you people, you know what you did? You took this man by the name of Jesus Christ, and you crucified him. Well, before they'd been angry, they'd get upset, they'd run people off. And they would do it again in the days to come. When the Apostle Paul would get up and preach a powerful message unto them and point out their error, it'd run them out of town. Now, I've never been run out. Never have. Maybe I've never preached powerful enough. I hope I never am. But let me tell you something. When we begin to study the Word of the Lord, it's not just as easy as a lot of people would want to think it is. Saving people is not hard for the Lord. Last night, remember what I said? Jesus said to the man of the palsy, he said, which is easier to all that group of people? He said, which is easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? One's just as easy for him to say as the other, and he was just as capable of doing one as he was the other, and he did both of them. These people were pricked in their heart, they were convicted, and they didn't know what to do. Peter said, repent and be baptized. Now, let me tell you something this evening. Don't get those two backwards. Leave them in the order they're supposed to be. And when you've repented, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, he said to Philip, he said, what does hinder me from being baptized? Obviously, Peter or Philip had talked to him about baptism. He wouldn't have known anything about it otherwise. And we need to talk more about baptism today than we do. But baptism does not precede salvation. It follows salvation. But I will stand here this evening and tell you without any reservation whatsoever that when I hear people get up and say, oh, you know, I'm just following the Lord and I'm doing everything that the Lord wants me to do, and I find out they haven't even followed the Lord in baptism, I know they're lying to me. The very first thing that the Lord instructs an individual to do after they've been saved is to place their light on the candlestick that it may give light to all those under house. Why do you think that baptism became so confusing down through the years? Because it was being preached almost in the same breath as repentance and salvation. And people got the idea, well, you know, if baptism is that important, maybe we ought to get that done anyway. You know, we get to thinking logical about these things. And then, you know, if baptism is that important, maybe that's what washes away our sins. No, it doesn't wash away your sins. Never has, never will. But he said, repent and then be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's one scripture that you may be able to come back in a year and talk to me and say, oh, preacher, I got you. There it talks about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, let's go ahead, find some more for me. I'm playing with you on that. But the reason that I am is because I'm convinced that some of you think that maybe it is a special dispensation. And maybe that you've got something the rest of us don't have. Well, you don't have anything I don't have. Not when it comes to what God has granted unto us and He gave us salvation. He gave me just enough to get me into heaven. Now, there is such a thing as a refilling. I get away from the Lord. Well, we old Baptists used to call it backsliding. Yeah, we don't hear that word anymore. Because it's got bad connotations that means that, you know, they're not where they need to be. And we don't like to think of backsliding. But I've been in that condition. I know what it is to not have the joys of my salvation and have to say, Lord, restore unto me the joys. Give me a refilling of that Spirit. No man cometh to the Father excepting by me. Now, I want to read you just a little more. And along that line, because there's just a little before that I should have read. You know where that came from when Jesus was saying that? Remember this one. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Remember, that's what Jesus was saying. Yeah. He went to prepare a place for us. I asked here a couple of years ago, maybe, how many of you think you've got a mansion over there? And some of you were going to the scripture. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you so. But he doesn't say that he went there to prepare me a mansion. It says he went there to prepare me a place. I may just have a little spot over there by the river. But it'll be okay. It'll be all I need, all I want, and I'll be happy with it. Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do in a mansion anyway. Only two people I know of that lived in a mansion was Al and Norma Green. They did, yeah. When I first heard that, surely, I'm just going to be honest, and I'm going to quit here. And if Al and Norma happen to see this, I think I've told them this, but the first time I heard that Al and Norma was living in a mansion, I looked at her and said, somebody's got to be kidding me. Al and Norma living in a mansion? By golly, let me tell you something. I came back here one time and got invited to go down, and it was a mansion. Yeah. I'm not kidding. So they know what it is to live in a mansion. I've never lived in one and don't ever probably want to. But I know this, whatever I get up there will be all right. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am there you may be also. See, that's the important thing to me, is that where He is, I will be. One of the things that I've been reading, and it's given me a little bit of a problem, is that whether we're going to go when we immediately die, whether we go to heaven, or whether we go to paradise. Well, I've always just preached we go directly to heaven. But the more I'm reading, the more I'm finding out maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've been preaching something again wrong all the time. I say maybe. I'm not thoroughly convinced that. And you know me, Shirley knows me. I'm a parson. You're going to have to prove it to me. But listen, wherever, whatever it is called, I will be with the Lord as soon as that angel comes to get me. And there will be an angel come to get me. That's according to the Word of God. Yeah. There's one watching over me right now. But there's one that's waiting for the Lord to give the word to go get him. I hope they've got to wait just a little longer. But if they don't, one down here will release me and I'll head home. What shall we do? What shall we do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Because of the remission of your sin. You see, baptism is nothing more excepting a visible sign of what has happened to us inwardly. That we've died to the old man of sin. That our sins have been buried and forgiven. That we are arising to walk in the newness of life, a new creature in Christ Jesus, and we are alive forevermore.